If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, joined with my twin flame, Lord Ashtar, and this is the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is 999, our portal to completion, the completion of the cosmic plan. Part of our Dharma duty, mission, if you will, is our own enlightenment and how that contributes and is necessary as part of the fulfilling of this overall cosmic plan. We're going to be looking at that tonight. And also looking at many, many things that I want to cover. So let's start, as usual, with an attunement. But tonight I would like us to do a reality transposition. In other words, we are going to transpose the reality of wherever it is that you're sitting with that of being in our ascension chamber aboard an Ashtar Command, Merkaba of Light, which is like a small city, actually. Anyway, take a deep breath. And gradually intend, allow, and purpose that the reality in which you find yourself sitting right at this moment is exchanged for the reality aboard a beautiful Ashtar Command ship of light. And you find yourself standing before an oval entranceway. And you're invited to step through in your mind's eye through that oval opening. And as you do, there's an energy field that cleanses, harmonizes, and adjusts your aura. As you step through the oval opening, you find yourself in a beautiful ascension room. This is where a great deal of our work is done with our ground-based crew at night when you think you are in your bed. Your body is. But your spiritual self exits the physical body and goes forth in many, many duties upon the inner planes. You go to mystery schools to take lessons and classes and to be of service to other people. You visit other worlds. Very often you're taken aboard ship with the Ashtar Command. And work is done to accelerate your vibratory frequency and to assist you in making this quantum shift of the ages that we are currently involved with. So this room may be somewhat familiar to you because you've all been here many times. Now tonight, if you will look before you, you will see something like an open phone booth, although it's all curved. And it's a curved opening, if you will. So stand in that curved alcove, if you will, and know that those of us that work with you are, in many cases, aspects of your own higher self, your own oversoul group, your own spiritual family. And so nothing weird or spooky will take place. because we operate through the great central sun throne realms of the Most High. We come through the office of the Christ, and we minister to this and a myriad of worlds through the order of Melchizedek. And we are in service under the direct ordinances and governance of Lord Jesus, Sananda, Emmanuel. So you are completely protected at all times, every single one of you. There is never anything to fear. We will never abduct you. We will never implant you. We will never exert any form of mental control. We operate strictly through honoring of your free will and preference. And any time any action takes place that you're not in agreement with, you can simply say, no, I don't choose to participate. And you are instantly returned to your energetic coordinate. But if you would like to have an acceleration tonight in our ascension chamber, that's available for you. So if you would like that to happen, just take a step forward into that little alcove that looks like an open phone booth. And we will set the energy just right for your ascended body of light. And just visualize a golden, beautiful golden aura coming down, just like a golden bodysuit that fits all around your body, like a golden, burnished, beautiful, glowing suit. And see it come down under your feet and around your fingers and hands. And every part of your body is fitting into this beautiful golden suit of light. And we ask our most radiant one, Lord Jesus Sananda, to set the perfect vibratory resonance in each of the molecules, each of the atoms, and the subatomic particles of your physical, your astral, your causal, your etheric, your mental, and your spiritual bodies of light, so that every part of you rings and sings with divine harmony, divine health, divine regeneration, divine wholeness. And we ask and invite the Holy Spirit to completely fill and surround and protect and empower and surcharge you with energy, bringing healing wherever that is needed, bringing clearance and deliverance wherever that is required, and setting a perfect template for your own ascension program and process, your own enlightenment, your own return to original wholeness through grace. And we just, with great gratitude and love, allow this process to continue. And the energetic confusion will gently integrate for each person according to their highest rate and highest good. And we seal this through the order of Melchizedek. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. So today, beloveds, we have the celebration, at least in some parts of the world today, of the 999. Some of you have already celebrated it yesterday. And some of you in the next, the other hemisphere, will celebrate it tomorrow. But the 999 is our entrance into the home stretch, if you will. We've been in the last few shows speaking about the Mayan prophecies of the Guatemalan Mayan Council. Some shows back, I did a show on the Mayan sixth day. And so tonight there'll be a blending of information, kind of tying it all together and advancing it from this point onward. According to the Mayan calendar, we are in the sixth day, which I referred to before as a day of blooming and blossoming, the entrance of new life. And November 7th, 2009, we enter into the sixth and last night. That's the final period. So during the day, the Mayan days, certain things are burst into light. And during the night, certain things are cleared and brought into a deeper level in preparation, in this case, for our full entrance into the seventh day. Now, the seventh day is the day in which we permanently enter into the new consciousness of unity and oneness, where the whole template of duality comes to an end, and a final end. And we go into that new earth, which is one of complete peace and love and harmony. We've just spoken about the message from the Guatemalan elders. We'll be having more information from them. And they correlate this with a time also in which there will be a shift into a new alignment in terms of our poles that could occur at any point between 2007 and 2015. The template that we're looking at tonight is one that was suggested from the studies of Dr. Carl Johan Kalman and the Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, which is his book, which I like very, very much. But according to his calculations, the cycle ends with our full enlightenment by October 28, 2011. So that advances the program even in advancement of the date that's usually given of December 31st, 2012. And the Mayan Guatemalan elders, which speak of between now and 2007 and 2015. So we're looking at a cycle in which enlightenment is the objective. Enlightenment is the goal. Enlightenment is the plan. And the resolution of all conflict that is born of duality and the sense of separation, which is born of the fallen mind or the ego mind. So the 999 also, spiritually speaking, signifies the complete reversal of the laws of material limitation, which are symbolized by the infamous 666. So quite simply defined, it signifies our current transformation from carbon-based physical and mortal bodies to silicon-based, immortal bodies of light. Or, as the ancient Vedic prayer has suggested, this 999 is our final transformation from the unreal to the real, from darkness to light, from death to immortality. And our spiritual and material natures at this point merge in rhythm, congruency, and harmony. The stream of world events that are unfolding in our news media, I'd like to look at them a little bit. The winding down of these scenarios, which are bursts of separate consciousness and separate mind streams, belief systems, positionings that are polarized. These are still in process, obviously, but they'll be gradually short-circuited and brought to an end in a variety of ways. Several things will also continue on for a while. The resolution of all conflict patterns power holds for people and ideologies and belief systems and paradigms are in opposition one to the other. There'll be, a withdrawal of energy from those conflicts until they sort of just peter out. There will be the continuing collapse of global economy, because that has become the great god, the great mammon that we have worshipped. And yet it is all abstract. It's all digital. Really, when you lose money, you haven't lost anything that's real. You've lost computer input and digital input that doesn't really have any basis in reality other than as a thought form that we've agreed has value. So that's part of the illusion that is now being brought to light and collapsing. And with it, the transposition of a new sense of value. The new currency, the new value, will be the gold of enlightened consciousness. Gold has always been the symbol of enlightenment in ancient times. That's what was always the objective of the alchemist, was to take the base metal and transmute it into gold. And that was a metaphor for taking the base consciousness and transmuting it into the golden enlightened state. So presumably to do that, the alchemist had to be enlightened himself, otherwise he couldn't create gold. So the new coinage will be a wisdom and knowledge, and we will become an informational wisdom-based society, a creative-based society, a sharing society, instead of a financial, strictly business left brain type of society. There will be also a shift in world power. Certain nations that have held the leadership and world power will take a different configuration, so that there is more of a joining and a sharing of world power, until eventually there will be no need for government, no need for a leader, and the Lord himself, the Christ consciousness within us and with us, will be the leader. And we will not have any kind of temporal, worldly government or power in place. The consciousness of humanity is becoming more balanced in the male and the female. You're having strong women. You're having tender and gentle men. You're having the balance within each person, so that the woman is strong and gentle, and the man is gentle and strong. And so you will see that continue. You'll have a continuing of weather and earth change events. This is happening because, as Ashtar has spoken about recently, it's all about the sun. The sun inwardly, S-O-N, and the sun outwardly, S-U-N. So the change in consciousness is coming from the initiation that the sun is going through, and our realignment with the great central sun systems and the core of the galaxies, and the weather events that have spawned because of the new influx of energy that's impinging on the aura of the Earth and the consciousness of humanity. So concomitant with that, there will be startling revelations about the nature of the sun, about our origin, about God, and life on nearby planets. We will start to have direct contact physically with Earth's governments and people, and there will be full disclosures. Initially, we plan to appear in, as we did with the signing of the Declaration of Independence and other strategic times in your history. We will simply appear in to certain enclaves and gatherings, and we will command attention by the brilliance of our orality, of our oral expression, of our composer of our presence will immediately command the ear and the attention of, say, for example, the United Nations and other places where we will appear. There will be full disclosure in the United States to join with the disclosures that are occurring in other parts of the world about the reality and ongoing reality for many, many decades with people from other worlds. People who are currently living on Earth from other worlds will also step forward and disclose their identity. We will see more and more miracles of healing that cannot be explained by any worldly paradigm or any scientific explanation. We will see strange and wonderful signs and divine appearances and such a bleed through of realities that are beautiful and exciting and wondrous that people will just absolutely be like children with delight. And the filters that have presented our knowing of who we are and our recognition of the beauty and the wonderment of God and His creation and who we are and what our place is in the cosmos, the filters will start to come down. And an awakening of more and more awareness and love and absolute intolerance to further warfare and anything that harms other people. We're going to rise up in the soul of our conscience collectively and say, no more war. We're going to demand, absolutely demand, in our millions, even billions, a complete cessation of the warring tendency. And this will accompany earth changes, miraculous appearances, things that stun and stop egocentric, crazed consciousnesses that have become totally out of touch with their own higher principles. It will stop them in their tracks. And they will be rendered as the ancient Hebrews were when God would appear over their tent of meeting. They would fall backwards like they were dead. They would be stunned in the Holy Spirit with the magnificence of God, and they were afraid to even ascend the mountain where Moses was meeting with one of the commanders from the Elohim. And they were afraid to go up the side of the mountain. In fact, the Elohim said, don't come up the side of the mountain. You know, stay back, because they knew that they couldn't take that energy of that encounter. So negative consciousness cannot proceed any further. This is the end of the line for conflict and war and hatred and all of that kind of behavior. But we're also going to have some help. We looked last week or two, whenever it was, at what the Mayans had to say about the 30 hours of darkness in which we would literally go to sleep in our mortality and awaken in our immortal body of light on the new earth. With a new pole, you know, polar alignment. So there are some supernatural moves of God taking place here to assist us, because obviously, left to our own devices, we're just going to keep doing war after war after war, kind of like Groundhog Day, just like keeps going on and on and on. And so God is going to have a hand in this to awaken us, because that unconscious, subconscious part of us just keeps going back from track A to track B to track A to track B. So I want to look a little bit at where we are. Perhaps if you did a little of your homework last week, you kind of did a flyover of your life and kind of got a sense of where you are invested in your belief systems, where you have tended to hunker down in your positioning. And we're going to have to unhunker down and loosen up and move to an embracement of that life and life more abundant that Jesus came to set the template for. So the right and left lobes of the brain need to go, join and meet now so that we can have a unified mind that that then merges with a unified heart, that then merges with a unified field that we call Christ consciousness. So that's next on the agenda. And with that, we're going to find, as I mentioned last show, certain areas that we used to have quite an investment of energy in terms of our positioning. We're going to kind of lean into them and find nothing's there. Just going to sort of dissolve our polarization, those levels in the mind that have been polarized. You're just going to start to kind of shrink and atrophy and dissolve into the love of the unified field as that Holy Spirit keeps being poured out on all flesh. That inner transformation is changing us bit by bit through grace. So it's become a tendency amongst lightworkers to kind of adopt such phrases as, I am one with the universe, and the power of the universe flows through me, and all life is one, and I'm one with all that is. Or you may hear people say things like, God and I are one, and everything is God, and similar statements. Now, these are absolutely true statements, but they may not necessarily be anything more than just idealism that you spout periodically if you haven't really become enlightened to where those are actually your natural state of seeing life. If that's become your natural way of viewing life, and that is truly congruent on every level of your being, then great, you're enlightened. But if you say, I'm one with God, and then you get into an argument with someone and hate their guts, obviously, you're not in that unified field of Christ consciousness yet. So what I'm saying is that we actually can't play act with enlightenment. Either you are enlightened, or you're in that process still, and it's always best to start with where you're at and what's so for you, rather than to try to play act and pretend something that's not authentic. So what I'm suggesting is that it's important to properly direct your body-mind complex that you associate as being your quote-quote self. And to do that, you need one consistent method of approach and focus. Otherwise, your mind is going to be all over the place. So you want to achieve that genuine experience of union with God and harmony with the universe. We all aspire to experience this. And this is what this cycle is for that we've just entered on this 999. So let's look at some keys here. I have discussed with Asher today three keys that we both think is extremely important, which is rhythm, congruency, and harmony. And let these serve as keynotes to achieving and sustaining higher states of consciousness manifestation. Basically, that movie that everybody likes so much, The Secret, was all about congruency. When I say congruency, it's having an agreement on every level of your being that's consistent. Your mind agrees with what you feel. Your feeling in your mind agrees with what you set in motion in your actions, what you speak in your words, and what you believe in your heart. And this is very important because, you know, that's how your life is gestalted from inside out, is through what you believe, what you take on board, and then enact as your reality. So, the time of enlightenment is quite simply the time for all of our filters, our ego filters, and our ego positioning and duality to fall away, and for us all to awaken to our oneness with all life. So, let's start with the first key, which is rhythm. And let's examine each one of these and see how we can apply the principles of rhythm, congruency, and harmony to our daily spiritual practice. Well, number one, it's important to set a rhythm with your spiritual approach, your spiritual attunement, so that you have a consistent rhythm through your spiritual practice. The time in which you select to devote and dedicate to your meditation, to your prayer, to your spiritual attunement, pick that time that fits in best with your particular flow of energy and your particular life orchestration, and stick with it. You know, create an aura where you can succeed in having quiet, still time with God. So the time itself is not as important as the consistency of your daily rhythm and practicing whatever it is that you do that connects you with your divine source. Naturally, if you're raising children or have to be at work early, you need to schedule your time accordingly and time manage so that you can have success in, carving out that time every single day for God. Now, what you're really doing is creating interplay, rhythm, and congruency in your levels of consciousness between your inner and outer levels, your spiritual and your physical. Your entire life then begins to resonate with higher purpose as you do that. This simple daily practice, believe it or not, will lead you gradually and easily into living in the divine presence and awareness 24/7. You'll just naturally flow into that. You'll be living in that higher state of consciousness that we call the living love, or the fifth dimension, or Christ consciousness. You'll be in that state all the time. So you just start that daily rhythm of attunement with God in the morning. And if you're at work, you know, attune again when you have your breaks. And again at night before you go to bed, attune again. Tune in, you know, connect with your breath, knowing that your breath came from God. Breathe in that divine presence. Align your attention so that you connect to your intention, to your breath. And next, let's examine congruency, which I mentioned is having all that you say, think, and do come into agreement. So here again, you're going to need to really look at and kind of watch yourself from a distance, you know, kind of get that objective observer, and listen to what you say when you talk on the phone. Listen to what you say when you're at work. Is your speech consistent and congruent with the truth that you know is so for you? So the very success in manifestation, the law of attraction, as I mentioned, in The Secret, was simply, you know, congruency, which, again, manifests very rapidly. That's how these masters, like Sai Baba, for example, can materialize anything that he thinks about, because he has a complete congruency with all of his levels. That's how all the masters materialize. That's how you materialize, too. Although most of us are kind of still stuck within the belief system of sequential unfoldment in time and space. In a totally God-realized avatar like Sai Baba, they're not under that kind of limitation or constriction to time and space, nor are we within the Ashtar command. We don't have to consider time. But congruency, in terms of the Ashtar command, is how we coalesce the Merkabas that you call our ships of light. That's how we coalesce them around us. We all come into one accord. And the congruency of our harmonic convergence and agreement and intention materializes as these beautiful cities of light that you call motherships or Merkabas, which enables us to be anywhere we come into congruent agreement on. So we don't even have to travel in time and space. Just like at the beginning of our program, when we went into a reality transposition, and wherever you're sitting in your bedroom or living room or wherever in your office, all of a sudden you were transposed on the ship just by the same principle of bringing yourself congruent and in attunement with a new positioning and in consciousness placement. That's the biggest key I can't overemphasize what an enormous key that is, if you can get it, that your agreement, your congruency with what you think, what you feel, what you believe, what you intend, and what you desire with all your heart, mind, body, soul, every bit of your being, has to manifest. That's the secret of the whole thing. So, begin to observe where you're not congruent, where you have mixed agendas going on. Stalk yourself, as Don Juan would say, and find those areas and begin to course correct. You know, I have no problem with doing that. If I find myself diverging from my reality, you know, sometimes we get caught up in other people's reality because every one of us are empaths and we're all extremely sensitive. And sometimes before we know it, just for the sake of having fellowship or agreement or whatever, we'll morph into someone else's reality and we're saying stuff that we don't believe at all. And it's not in congruency with our essence. So you'll find yourself stopping yourself in mid-sentence and course-correcting or choosing again. And you'll discover as you progress in your daily rhythm of spiritual practice and working for congruency that your time with God and your intuitive overview of your life just quite naturally develops into a more impersonal view of life and personal events, and you'll be able to soul transcend and rise above them and see from an eagle's eye perspective. And that impersonal self is just another way of describing your enlightened self, your enlightened perspective, or your higher self. So, here's a personal checklist for duality snares. Notice at the first tendency that you may have to close down your energy or your heart, or to constrict or contract or react. Usually this is sensed as a discomfort in the solar plexus area, and you'll notice this kind of a clunk feeling in your solar plexus, or this sinking in your heart, or a tightening or agitation, or sometimes your throat. I know with me, my throat will just absolutely close down if I start to speak something that's not in agreement with my higher nature, my truth. My voice will just completely close down on me. I think you'll find that's true for you as well. So, sometimes it's where you can hardly speak. So observation in a detached manner will clear those areas. All you have to do is to see them through the eyes of your soul, and they begin to dissolve. It's like, you know, you catch yourself in mid-game, the game is no longer fun. It's been brought to light. So notice your reactive triggers and simply choose to hold them and put an end to them. And again, the ego doesn't have much fun, or it doesn't have much support. So just observe where you are reacting and decide that you can make a conscious choice to just let it be if you want. You don't have to correct it, object to it, voice your opinion, unless, of course, you're asked to. But even if you're asked to, you don't necessarily have to have an opinion. The Course in Miracles has one lesson that says, I could be seeing peace instead of this. I choose the peace of God instead of pain. Or I just choose the peace of God. So the Course in Miracles is an excellent daily course for mind correction. And that under the governance of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. So that's, I think, one of the best daily studies to gradually bring you into higher consciousness that we have available on the planet. But at any rate, don't worry, because there's, you know, there's always a plan A and a plan B and even a plan C. So with this transformation that we're going through now, there will be no failures. Everyone is going to succeed because it's the divine plan and the divine will, and we're part of God. And God's grace is simply being extended to all who in their heart of hearts really want to make this shift. So it's just a time to celebrate, really celebrate, be joyful, because this is the time we have been really, really working for and praying for and expecting and envisioning. And, you know, for the whole, 26,000-year cycle, this has been the overall objective. This time that we are just now standing in the portal of the 999. Wow, this is just the coolest of the cool. So let's have fun with it. So as we move into the enlightened state, these are the signs and symptoms that you'll notice. One of the first things you notice is that you're seeking. You don't seek anymore. You have like a sense of wholeness and completion, and you notice more the sense of perfection in yourself. And when you see it in yourself, you tend to see it in others as well. And there's just a sense of well-being, the shalom, which is this wonderful supernatural peace that bypasses our human understanding. So one of the first things is that the enlightened have direct contact with God, and they naturally have access to cosmic wisdom. They just can know whatever they want to know by attuning to spirit within the moment and allowing their intuition to guide and direct them. They don't have to plan what they're going to do or what they're going to say or anything. They just attune to spirit and they're guided. And you radiate confidence and joy. And you have a stable, ongoing centeredness. And just love, this love that radiates. That's one of the first things you notice with people who are enlightened, is that they're just radiating confidence and love and joy. And they're centered. They stay in that centered attunement. And the second really characteristic sign is that they have a quiet mind, devoid of mental chatter. They put the mind to rest by dipping it in the holy names of God. As you go into your spiritual practice and you chant the holy names of God, it dissolves the ego mind, just like the sun will dissolve the fog banks. And you have a very immediate attunement to what is true and so for you. And so that confidence of walking in the light of your own knowing, your own awareness, your own enlightenment is so strong with you that you don't outwardly reference to others and their thoughts and their belief system. You just keep your eyes single. And with that comes an absence of inner conflicts and personality ego triggers or personal reactions. There's just an absence of that because you don't live from the personal self. You live from the impersonal self. And there's a whole different orientation to your life. And you know, what goes along with that is that you don't place much attention on what the world media is saying. You know, what it says is so. You detach from the world views and opinions, even though you operate in the world and you respect the laws that have been put in place. You don't buy into them and let them direct you. Number three, you're no longer concerned with what others do or say or believe. You live, speak, and act from the highest understanding and knowing that you possess at the time. And yet you keep opening to receive greater wisdom and greater discernment, greater clarity, and greater love, and greater peace for yourself, but also for all others. Because suddenly you live your life to promote the happiness and peace, well-being, and good of all beings. You don't live for yourself anymore. In fact, you don't even think about yourself. You're involved in bettering the lives of the people around you. For there's a sense of tranquility and an aura of peace around you that others can notice right away. There's no sign of worry or anxiety or stress in your approach to life. 5, you laugh and smile readily and have ready humor and you know, outrageousness. You're open and gracious and humble and friendly and yet respectful to everyone. And you live in harmony and kinship with all life and people. 6, you refrain from negative comments or anything that would hurt or harm or offend others. In speech being, you don't go into judgment and criticism and slander, which is so often the content of people's speech before they're really enlightened. You just end cycle on anything that's negative, and you develop a very non-judgmental kind of embracement of life without necessarily siding with or condoning in any way behavior that's inappropriate. I mean, you keep to your own path and your own value system. And if you're in a position of law enforcement or jurisprudence or as a juror or someone that's involved in the legal system, then of course you definitely have to call a spade because we're still going to have the police and the law enforcement for at least a little while longer until this transformation is completed. So depending on your placement in life and your occupation, but again, it will not be a personal negative expression. It may be, you know, this is black because it's black or this is white because it's white, but not because you're judging it as being, you know, whatever. I think you catch my drift there. So, 7, you accept in a spirit of brotherhood all people, races, creeds, persuasions, and yet again, you remain true to yourself and your own values and what you know is right and proper at any given time. 8, you're open to the wonder, beauty, mystery, and awesome splendor of life and the cosmos, and yet you're ever open to learning new things, and you're adaptable and resilient to changes and fearless before the unknown. You know, when you're one with God and that perfect love casts out all fear, you just don't have the startle reflex even anymore. You're just not afraid. You know that the grace of God and the love of God is sufficient to heal and balance and harmonize and redeem and uplift all things. 9, you live totally present in the moment in faith and active participatory yieldedness as the Holy Spirit directs and provides the direction and the way and the energy and leads you. So you become spirit referenced, spirit filled, spirit directed at all times. And you with yourself, just like your elder brother Jesus can say, I of myself do nothing. It is the Spirit of the Father within me that does all things. So you'll try to find that point where you can agree with whatever situation you encounter or point of view, and you permanently cease contributing or participating in any form of conflict. Just end cycle on that conflict. And this is the harmony that we are moving into. So we have the overall way of finding that harmonic chord that is the bridge over troubled waters, that is the agreement point, that is the pair, you know, the neutral way between the pairs of opposites that we walk in. So you make peace more important to you than making your point or being right or gaining at the expense of another. You know, if another has to lose for you to be right, that's more of the ego game. So we learn to kind of just give it up. Just give up our positioning and our need to have precedence over another. You no longer reference to the past, either in fact we are finding that our past is starting to dissolve from our memory banks. As the third dimensional ego mind dissolves, with it goes all the sad storylines of our past, all the pain and hurt, all that kind of just dissolves. And you release it all as perfect and forgive it and go on your blissful way. So you hold a vision in your heart and mind of our world ringing with laughter and songs of celebration and at peace with abundance and beauty and happiness for all. And in terms of the Mayan prophecies, we can only judge prophecy, previous prophecy, by evaluating how accurately it has been fulfilled. And I like Dr. Coleman's book very much, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, because he correlates it with the Book of Revelation and biblical prophecy, which you know I love very much and study a great deal. So I highly recommend it to those of you that have an intellectual approach, because it's not an easy read, but it's a very clear read in terms of where we are and how we're moving into the Enlightenment. This is what he describes as where we are moving. The universal underworld in 2011 is what all of creation has been waiting for, its very purpose. It is when all things are brought together and all conflicting ways of being, acting, and thinking will be resolved and unified in a light that makes it possible for everyone to understand everyone else and everything at once. All limiting thoughts will disappear. The ninth underworld may seem as a gift from God, since it is not only about creating balance, but also the enlightenment given to humankind as an expression of divine grace. This is when we will fully understand why the cosmic plan was designed the way it was, and we will overflow with gratitude to the Creator. At the same time, we will recognize our own divinity, for there will be no separation between the divinity of the Creator and our own. And the Hopi prophecy says the spiritual beings will remain to create one world and one nation under one power and that of the Creator. So we will be all one, the universe, our galaxy, our planet, and all living manifestations, all under the same law of creation, synchronized to the energy changes described by the Mayan Zilkeen, or Mayan calendar. Our destiny will not be fully experienced before day 7 of the universal underworld, which will be starting on October 8th and ends on the Zilkeen day of 13, Aho, October 28th, 2011. This is when the purpose of creation is fulfilled. And that is when we move into and permanently our new earth and our new enlightened consciousness. So let's go out chanting Anahyu. Deep breath. Anahyu. 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 So, welcome to the New Jerusalem, the New Prashanti Nilayam, place of peace. which is within mankind and will soon become our new earth. Adonai, beloved.